Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. John 3:36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. God is very good to us to let us have the opportunity to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We're beginning a new series today. I'm amazed as I make preparation for this magnificent study on the Holy Spirit. I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that there are so many things that I'm seeing that I've not seen before. That lets me know that the Word of God is always powerful and always brand new to us every single day. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. We'll read that verse, exegete for a few moments as we get ourselves ready and moving into this magnificent study. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today again how blessed we are. We're members of the royal family. We're individual priests. We have been changed by the magnificent grace of God. We're the recipients of righteousness. We're members of the royal family. We are blessed tremendously. And we bow to express our thanks today that we're privileged to be here once again to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths of your word. We pray that we will have today the ability to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, that we may be what you want us to be in the remaining time that you have for us on this earth. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I'll read first of all, and then we'll look at it exegetically. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. On the screen you see this verse. We have it in the English here. We have it also in the Greek. We're not going to be spending a lot of time on the Greek words, which we could and enjoy very much. But I want you to be able to see something that's presented to us by the one word, baptize. If you'll notice, it says, for by one Spirit, are we all into one body, we're baptized. Whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and all were given to drink into one Spirit. We spent a few moments looking at the word baptized.
You'll notice that it is the Greek word baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. I would encourage you to be aware of the fact that that word is presented to us here in a magnificent fashion. It says, by one Spirit are all we who've been born into God's kingdom. We're put into one body. We're baptized, which simply means that that is a dry baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's placed us into the family of God, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free. You'll notice up here the word all, for by one Spirit are we all into one body baptized. Down here you'll see, and all were given to drink into one Spirit. Please notice again, as we look at this word baptizo, the way the word is used. It's an aorist tense. The A means aorist tense, which emphasizes a point of time in history. The passive voice emphasizes the fact that the subject receives the action of the verb. It's very important for us to be aware of the fact that we've been born into God's kingdom. We're members of the royal family. We didn't do it. We became the recipients of that magnificent gift. That's the reason why it is the passive voice. The subject receives the action of the verb. And the I stands for the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality, which is telling us that we are the recipients of God's mighty power that transformed us and put us into His wonderful family. We're dealing this time with the subject of the priesthood of the believer. You and I are individual priests, which means that we do not have to go through a minister. We do not have to go through a priest. We do not have to go through a deacon. We do not have to go through any individual. To the throne of grace, we go directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The curtain of the temple was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, which means that God's opened up the tent, opened up the curtain that makes it possible for every individual to pass right on through to the throne of God. What has happened to us is that when God moved us into His magnificent family, we were moved into what is known as a royal position. At salvation, God gives absolute righteousness. These points are so important. I want to spend a lot of time on each one of them. But I have so much to say that I'd like for you to take these down rapidly. At salvation, God gives absolute righteousness. All of our righteousness is but filthy rags, the Bible says. We have no righteousness of our own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're the recipients at salvation of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is absolute righteousness. Please understand that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God moved into your life, changed you greatly, and gave you that which you could not get from any other source. You can only get this from our Heavenly Father. And that happened to you when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. At salvation, number one, God gives absolute righteousness. Number two, we're made a child of God and a member of the royal family. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God worked the magnificent transformation that caused you from that point on to be a child of God and a member of the royal family. Can you see how important this is? I need to just dwell on these words because they're so very, very powerful. At salvation, God gives absolute righteousness. At the point of salvation, we are made a child of God and a member of the royal family. Number three, it was the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit enters one into union with Christ, which is giving to us a royal position, which we're calling a new position. Which simply means that at that point of time, we became the recipients of God's righteousness, and we received an eternal inheritance. Let me let you see this very powerfully impressed upon your mind, that when God worked the miracle of transformation in your life, you became a recipient of being placed into union with Jesus Christ. You became a recipient of God's righteousness. And at that point of time, you became a recipient of what we classify as an eternal inheritance. Notice, if you will, number four. In the believer's body, at the point of salvation, is placed a temple for the indwelling of deity 1, 2, and 3. Are you able to see what is being presented here? At the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked into your life the miracle of transformation, put you into the family of God, made you a member of royalty, and you have that magnificent gift from now throughout eternity. And you became the recipient of a temple placed into your life, the temple described as deity 1, 2, and 3. Number five. At this time, many assets are given. These assets are given for our time while we're here on the earth. And these assets are given not only for our time on the earth, but our time throughout the ages of the ages, eternity. Please be aware of the fact that when God moved into your life and you became a believer, God gave you not only that which is necessary for victory and triumph while we are here, but God has given you and me magnificent blessings that will last forever and forever and forever. I don't even know. I'm not even aware. The Bible doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen for us in the future. I have no idea of how wonderful it's going to be, but I'm convinced it's going to be outstanding. I'm convinced that what God has prepared for us, not only for time, but for eternity, is beyond our imagination. We're members of royalty. Now, I realize that as I got into this study, on the magnificent study of the Holy Spirit, I became more and more excited. I received more information that I wanted to give you, and there's no way under heaven that I can give you all of this in one session. I cannot even give it to you in two sessions or three. But we're going to try to give you as much as possible. We want you to listen attentively and carefully. Royal family. Now, on this page, on the screen, I have for you some of the most magnificent thoughts that you could ever have in life, having to do with this royal family. The formation of the royal family is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back and talk about each one of these. The down payment on the royal family is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The functional power of the royal family, functional power, is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice as we began the service today, we were called to a point of being restored to fellowship. We were called to a time to be sure that our hearts were in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is necessary, very important. The functional power of this royal family is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is not something that will make you odd or strange. It is not something that's going to make you jump up and down and act foolish. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for you and me to be able to understand God's truth. That's the reason why we ask all of us to spend a moment to be sure we're in fellowship with the Lord. Because it is at that time God has provided for us what we call the grace system of comprehension, which simply means that when we're in fellowship, when we're right with God, when we're in harmony with Jesus Christ, it is at that point that God then is free to allow us to receive the mind, the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? In other words, you and I, if we're thinking about other things, if we're out of fellowship, we're not going to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. But if we're in harmony, and we stay in harmony, we stay in fellowship while the Word of God is being read and taught, it is at that point of time that the Spirit of God is enlightening us and giving to us the ability to comprehend spiritual truths. The functional power of the royal family, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Fuel for the royal family is saturation with the Word. Now, I'm going to go back through this for a few moments, and I may not get very far, but I'm going to just enjoy it with you, okay? We're talking about the royal family. We're talking about the fact that you and I are individual priests. We have the ability to come directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The curtain has been ripped open from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. And God is saying, you now have access to the throne. You don't have to go through a preacher. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to go through anyone. You come directly to me, God says. That's the reason why we're individual priests. Now, notice, we have fuel for the royal family, which is saturation with the Word. And then there's a fruit of the royal family, and that's capacity for life. Now, some of these letters may be new to you, so I'm going to go slowly enough for you to be able to see it. Formation of the royal family, dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, BHS. Down payment of the royal family, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that again in a few moments. The functional power of the royal family is the filling of the Holy Spirit. The fuel for the royal family is saturation with the Word. The fruit of the royal family is capacity for life. Oh my. The greatest thing that can happen to you and me is to have joy and peace and happiness on a day-by-day basis. The fruit of the royal family is capacity for life. Now let's look at these. Did you get them down? I'm trying to be nice to you today. I'm trying to give you time to write this down and write those letters down because it's important for you to think about this, not just now, but in weeks to come. The formation of the royal family is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The down payment of the royal family is the indwelling Holy Spirit. As I was making preparation for this teaching today, and I came to this second point, down payment of the royal family, down payment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then I began to move into the study of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I found myself going page after page after page of information until I exceeded 30 pages of information on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I said to myself, self, there's no way that you can interrupt your message today and talk for 30 pages about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you just take a little time? Okay. So I responded to myself. But when I say to myself, self, it's time to say, I respond. Are you folks listening to me now? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a definition and a description. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of church-age believer at the moment that you're saved. Now, we're not going to go into a study. We'll do it later. But I want you to get this definition down. What is the definition of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because you can see right here that it is the down payment of the royal family, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look at it again. Definition and description. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer. And this is all described in 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 3, which we will not study now. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is writing to the Corinthian believers, and he's informing them and informing us that the Holy Spirit indwells the body, your body and mine, of every church age believer. We're living in the time between Pentecost and the rapture at the moment of salvation. At the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God transformed you. God changed you. If you haven't had that change, then you're missing something, folks. God works the miracle of transformation. How does it happen? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And at the point that you believed, God transformed you. The dry baptism, not a wet, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit caused you to be moved from body and soul now to body, soul, and spirit. That third part there is what God gives you and me that gives us the ability to comprehend and understand, enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. It's a down payment. The Holy Spirit indwelling is the down payment on our royal family gift. Number two, the indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Now, some of you are saying, would you now discuss those six? No, we'll do that later. I just want you to see that I'm trying to lay a little foundation. I want you to see again, what does this say? The formation of the royal family is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's our major emphasis today. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The down payment of the royal family is the indwelling. What's the indwelling? The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment that you accepted Christ as Savior. The indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Now, the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the indwelling of Jesus as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God, our Heavenly Father. Now, if you'll notice what we're doing here, I'm giving you a very brief definition of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Please notice, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. The Holy Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries. We'll get into that in later days. The Holy Spirit, six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. The Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age. Can you believe how fantastic this is? In other words, your body, since you're saved by God's grace, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. For the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God the Father. Now notice, I had to say this. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. It's always amazing to me when people are talking to me about their church and they said, we have a beautiful sanctuary. Now, I don't want to be ugly to anyone, but no building, no matter how beautiful it is, no building is a sanctuary. You know what the sanctuary is? You and I, we are the sanctuary. So there's no sacred buildings in the church age. The only sacred building was the temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel, and it was destroyed in 70 AD. So from that point of time on, every born-again believer is the recipient of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so we, as born-again believers, become the temple of God. What does God have in plan for us? Royal family plans. Would you notice, please, please, I realize that I can only go so far, and so I'm going to go slowly for you to be able to see this. What is God's plan for us? What is God's plan for you as an individual? Let's draw an invisible circle around yourself, and let's just ask the question, what is God's plan for me? I'm not talking about the person to the left or right of you or front or back. I'm talking to you, and I'm doing this for myself. Let's draw an invisible circle around self. What is God have up for me? What is God's plan for me? Royal family plans. I'm a member of the royal family. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let's see what it is. One, learn the word on a consistent basis. That's most important. You and I have the responsibility to learn the word on a consistent basis. Number two, continue until spiritually we're self-sustaining. Wow, what does all this mean? What does it mean to be spiritually self-sustaining? Many of you right now are asking yourself the question, what is a preacher talking about when he talks about being spiritually self-sustaining? Is it possible to get there? Is it possible to be at a point where we are spiritually self-sustaining? Can we see life on a day-by-day basis from a vertical divine viewpoint? Are we continually seeing things horizontally from a human viewpoint? How are we seeing things? The more I live, the longer I live, the more blessed it is for me to be able to see that as I move from day to day to day to day, I'm discovering more and more. Haven't reached the goal yet, but I'm telling you something. It's magnificent to move forward, to become more and more self-sustaining. To the point where you're able to see that God is directing your life on a moment-by-moment basis. You're in harmony and fellowship with Him. You have your Word, the Word of God, saturating your mind. You're seeing through God's viewpoint, and you're seeing how God puts things together on a moment-by-moment basis. The more I live, the more I'm able to see that, and the more I am able to appreciate that. I see this more and more by little things. Things that normally you wouldn't think about. Things that you don't normally give consideration to. For instance, a little thing, driving along yesterday, there was a exit, and I didn't move to the proper lane fast enough. I kept looking back in my rearview mirror, and I saw there was a truck back there, and then all of a sudden I looked up and I realized that I was in the exit lane, and I didn't want to exit. Now, what do you do when you're in the exit lane and you don't want to exit? You look in your rearview mirror and you see someone behind, and you have to make a decision real quick. The most important thing to do at that point is to go ahead and take the exit. But at that point of time, I looked back and saw that there was possibly enough time for me to go from the exit lane to the proper lane. And so I moved to the left and just moved right on, eased my way right on the right lane that I should have been on at the very beginning. And I got to thinking about that. And I realized that God was taking care of us. And He allowed that truck to be far enough back for me to make a foolish decision to move into the wrong lane at the wrong time, but He took care of it. He knew in the eternal ages past that I was going to do that, and so He decided He'd take care of us no matter what. Are you following what I'm saying? Is it right to make a wrong decision? No. But sometimes in making even decisions that are not proper, God takes care handles that situation. I'm talking about being spiritually self-sustaining. You can tell right quick that I realize that there were some things lacking there in number two. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Number three, as we become more and more advanced, we will have the ability to pass a lot of tests in life. Many of the tests in life are what we classify as thought tests. Sometimes the tests are what we would classify as system tests. Sometimes it's what we would classify as disaster testing. Sometimes it's people testing. There's not a person in this auditorium, no matter how many days, weeks, months, years, you've been a believer. And no matter how you've advanced over the period of time, all of us realize that we have people tests, thought tests, system tests, and even disaster testing. But notice, please, number four. Through testing, we can become a witness against satanic forces. Through testing, we can become a witness against satanic forces. Number five, at maturity, advancing, God has designed for maturity great blessings. These blessings have been determined by the Heavenly Father in the eternal ages past. Whenever you and I have a problem, that problem doesn't come as a surprise to God. It may come as a surprise to us, but it doesn't come as a surprise to God. So you have to understand that in the eternal ages past, since God knows all about us and knows about all of our individual decisions, and He has a plan and a purpose for us, in the eternal ages past, He knew about this particular problem, this particular disaster, this particular temptation. He knew about this in the eternal ages past. He has a plan for us. He knows us individually. Yes, He does. And He made provision in the eternal ages past for that particular event, that particular disaster, that particular point of temptation, whatever it is. I'm overwhelmed when I think about that. I am beyond myself when I realize that God knew and knows all about us. Every single thing. Every single thing. When the temptation comes, when the disaster comes, when trouble comes, this has come as a surprise to God. It comes maybe as a surprise to us. But God knew all about that. He knows us individually. He knows our needs. In the eternal ages past, He made plans for all of these various things. Because what God is saying to us now is, I want you to know that the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit put you into my family and made you a royal family member, made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, you are the recipient of spiritual aristocracy. Put it down. Spiritual aristocracy. The sign of aristocracy is the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. You folks see how important it is for me to talk about all these things? Are you following along to be able to see how powerful it is when you study the ministry of the Holy Spirit taught in the Word of God? The sign of aristocracy is the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. The security of aristocracy is the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We will get into that subject one of these days too. Not only do we have the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, we have the indwelling of Christ, we have the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the function of aristocracy is for the believer to move to the objective of the grace abounding life and to be normal. You're going to have to see something here. So many of us are so abnormal that if we became normal, we'd be considered abnormal. Vance Havner said that years ago, and he made a great statement. So many believers are so abnormal that if they became normal, they'd be considered abnormal. The function of aristocracy is for the believer, you and me, to move to the objective of a grace-abounding life and to be normal. In the operation and function of our individual priesthood. That's our subject today, individual priesthood. We're individual priests. As a result of being individual priests, we've been commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. There's not anything that's getting you or keeping you away from access to God's throne of grace. Aristocracy. That's a beautiful word. But you know what? 6 minutes. When I think in terms of aristocracy, I think in terms of flexibility. Notice, if you will, please. Number one, the shepherd teacher has the job of rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're seeking to do today. This makes it possible then for the congregation to understand something about what is classified as essentials and non-essentials. Now, we're not going to spend much time here, but I want you to get this thought. My responsibility to you, because of my love for you and how wonderful it is to have this congregation, the shepherd teacher has the job of rightly dividing God's truth. And this makes it possible for you as a member of this congregation to understand something about the essentials of life and the non-essentials of life. Number two, as a believer receives the word over a period of time, that person will be able to distinguish between the essentials and the non-essentials. You've got to see this, folks. As a believer receives the word of God over a period of time, those individuals will have the ability to distinguish between what's essential and what's not essential. I believe God is speaking to you as an individual today. And God is saying to you, and He's saying to me, do you understand what is essential? And do you understand what is non-essential? The essential is spiritual food residing in the soul. Notice, if you will, please, our abbreviation. Spiritual food residing in the soul. The essential is a spiritual food residing in the soul. Non-essentials means everything else in life. Wow! What am I saying? I'm saying you need to be aware of the fact, you and I need to be aware of the fact. Excuse me, please. You think I'm pointing at you? I am. You and I have the responsibility of being able to see what is essential and what is non-essential. I am just thankful to God that I'm still alive. I am thankful to God that He's allowed me to be able to stand right here at this particular age in my life and to be enthusiastic about the most important thing in life, and that is to be right with God and understand the most important essential in life is understanding and utilizing God's Word on a day-by-day basis. I'm talking to you and me. The essential is spiritual food residing in the soul. Non-essentials means everything else in life. Notice my statement here. You must be rigid, unyielding, inflexible, and refuse to permit any variation considering the essential. Bar none, you and I have the responsibility of not allowing anything to keep us from having the mind of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're uncomfortable today with what I'm saying, just thank God for that attitude of being uncomfortable. All of us at times will find ourselves uncomfortable when we realize that we've been so magnificent in emphasizing the non-essentials and being so careless in emphasizing the essentials. We've been really lethargy. We feel with lethargy, indifference. Notice number 5, and with this one we'll close for the break. I'm anxious too to have some of that cake. You must always be pliant concerning the non-essentials of life. Life is made up of flexibilities. The only place for inflexibility is in relationship to spiritual food. You must always be pliant concerning the non-essentials of life. Life is made up of many flexibilities. The only place for inflexibility is in relationship to God and the Word of God. Spiritual food residing in the soul establishes the norms on which priorities are rated. If you and I want to know how to really live, we have to have it based and established on the norms which the Word of God gives us. Without spiritual food in the soul, the believer operates on what we would classify as erroneous norms. I can't tell you how important each one of these sentences, singular, is. Each one is important. Without spiritual food, the believer operates on erroneous norms. I'm going to close right there. I'd like to give you the illustration of the horsey woman. There is a horsey woman found in Luke 11, 27. Now, some of you are going to have your break looking in your Bible, finding this horsey woman. You're going to have fun doing that. Okay, I'll give it to you again. It's Luke. Some of you are already getting your Bible. I noticed one guy's got his glasses out. He's ready to study. Luke 11, 27, 28. I said in my statement here, women can be so beautiful. But there's nothing worse than a feisty, feuding, fussing, frothing, frustrated female. Isn't this a wonderful way to close this message? Wow. Women can be so beautiful. At the same time, nothing is worse than a feisty, feuding, fussing, frothing, frustrated female. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. We are thankful, Father, for the opportunity to study your word. So many enjoyable truths found here. Things that make a difference in our lives. Things that help us to be able to see what life's really all about. And it helps us to see that no matter how long you allow us to live on the earth, that you have a purpose and a plan for us. And we're thankful for that plan. And in these last few moments of this service, we do not know, but there may be someone listening to this voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They could do that right now. We don't push, we don't coerce, we don't try to force anyone to believe. Jesus himself didn't do that. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that no matter where individuals are at this moment hearing these words, that they will realize that if they're not saved, they could be saved right now. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except me. So there's only one way of salvation, and that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.